Let's start with our first news stories. Three well-known buildings in Norwich look set for a new lease of life. Norfolk pays its own tribute to the Duke of Edinburgh, and a spate of cold callers are at work again. Familiar sights and sounds return to Norwich City Centre on the first Saturday after non-essential shops reopened as part of England's emergence from lockdown.
The longest queue in the city was again outside Primark, where a line of shoppers stretched from the Bradgett Clothing Store's entrance on Haymarket all the way up to the Forum on Millennium Plain. Nobody was complaining, though. The April sunshine, no doubt, playing its part, and the queue was moving steadily, with people waiting no more than 20 minutes before getting inside the shop. In Chapelfield Shopping Centre, business was brisk, with queues outside H&M, Lush, Shoe, the Apple Store, JD Sports, Zara and Shake. A member of staff stood at the top of the escalators, holding a bottle of sanitizer and a cloth, wiping down the moving handrail.
Pub owners in Norwich have raised a glass to their customers for sticking to coronavirus rules since pubs reopened. Publicans opened their doors for the first time in months on April the 12th, but can still only welcome regulars back outdoors. There is still just under a month to go before, if it goes to plan, indoor hospitality can resume in the next stage of the government's road out of lockdown on May the 17th. But Mark White, who owns the Fat Cat Tap on Lawson Road with wife Laura, said it was good to be back. He said, "It's been amazing. The response from not only our regulars, but new customers as well, in wanting to go out and enjoy a bit of freedom has been absolutely incredible. We were always a little bit worried about whether people would want to come back to the pub, but the smiles, the laughter, and the fact that people have been able to meet up again after so long has been amazing to watch. Pubs have had to weigh up whether it is viable to stay open with reduced capacity, with Mr. White admitting his pub was very lucky to have enough outdoor space to fit up to 160 people. Some pubs are operating reduced hours, with the Belgian Monk on Pottergate only opening on Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays until punters can be welcomed indoors. Terry Hughes, its owner, said, "Our biggest concern was always that if the weather isn't great, we immediately halve the number of tables, and it's just not viable then. It's probably not viable now to do just 3 days, but at the end of the day, it's bringing some cash in." Both pubs said people were happy to stick to the stringent rules, which Mr. White said was like running a marathon with your legs tied together. But both said there had been no problems so far and encouraged people to continue sticking to the rules to ensure they remain open. Mr. White said, "I'm sorry, but if you don't abide by the rules, our licences are at risk."
As the Duke of Edinburgh was laid to rest in Windsor on Saturday, people in Norfolk marked his funeral with shows of respect across the county that became his home. Lady Dannant, who, as the Lord Lieutenant of Norfolk, serves as the Queen's representative in the county, joined the Mass at St. John's Cathedral in Norwich, led by Bishop Alan Hopes. At Sandringham, a Merchant Navy veteran held up colours at the estate's Norwich Gate, which remains covered with bouquets of flowers from well-wishers. In Dereham, at precisely 2:59 p.m, military bugler Steve Kemp gave a rendition of The Last Post at the town's war memorial, drawing people out of the shops on the marketplace to hear him. Mr. Kemp, who had a 23-year career as a military musician, said playing the piece for the Duke was a great honour, and said that it was his way of saying thank you for the Duke's years of loyal service and commitment. He also played outside the offices of Breckland District Council for a clip published on the council's social media channels. Norfolk police were among those observing the national minute silence, while children at Howard Junior School in Gaywood were filmed giving spoken tributes to the Duke while holding a framed picture of him they had made.
A year ago, Norwich youth charity Open went into liquidation, leaving one of the city's most prominent buildings empty. Not only did it see the loss of a vitally important source of support for young people in the region, but also left the city an entertainment and conference venue light. A year later, and the instantly recognisable former banking hall on Bank Plain remains empty, with the coronavirus pandemic putting the brakes on any swift solution. However, the Lind Trust, which owns the building, is hopeful it will soon be put back to good use, with talks over its future ongoing. Graham Dacre, one of its trustees, said, "The bottom line is that over the year we have been able to do very little during the lockdown, but we are looking at a couple of interesting proposals from third parties. We are talking to the Norwich University of the Arts as well as a third-party operator for a similar use that it previously had." Mr. Dacre added that the second interested party was keen on running the events side of the venue, which saw it previously used for concerts, conferences and other events. He added, "The other third party is a local operator who is interested in re-establishing a venue for the young people of Norwich." And while Mr. Dacre said these two options were very much on the table, he added that further pitches would also be listened to as the Trust looked to make the best use of the empty building. He added, "As trustees, we certainly hope the building is used for community purposes that benefit young people in the region. We welcome any suggestions or partnerships with other local charities or statutory organisations, and we would love to see the building up and running in a new use." The building dates back to the 1700s and in 1779 became the headquarters of Gurney's Bank when it was purchased by the family from the wine merchant Alderman James Poole. In 1896 it became part of Barclay & Co., with Barclays outgrowing the premises and building a banking hall on the site. At one stage, it was believed to be the largest banking counter in the United Kingdom and became Barclays regional headquarters. The Lind Trust bought the site from Barclays in 2003, and in 2005, the Open Youth Trust gained its charitable status. However, with the charity going into liquidation a month ago this month, the venue closed down, along with the office space used by the charity. A radio studio on site used by community station Future was also taken out of action by the collapse, although the associated closed storage facility located in the former bank vaults was saved. The collapse left the Lind Trust in need of a new purpose for the building, and Mr. Dacre said it was still very much open to new ideas.
A Grade 2 listed building in Norwich, which used to house a popular radio station, has now to be used to train the broadcast journalists of the future. Radio Broadland's broadcast from 47 to 49 Colgate for 35 years up until its demise in May 2019. The building, part of which dates back to the 18th century, was put up for sale that month for £895,000. But by October, the price had fallen dramatically to £349,000. But just days before the studios were to be demolished, UEA's broadcast journalism course director, Mark Wells, spotted them and thought it was too good an opportunity to miss. The university has signed a 10-year lease with owners Our Place, and the studio will be used by students hoping to be the radio stars of the future. Professor Wells said, "Our Place quickly put demolition on hold and gave the university the opportunity to develop a plan to make use of the site's unique features. UEA has been granted permission to use the facilities for education by Norwich City Council, and the studios have now been kitted out with industry standard equipment. Teaching and meeting spaces have been created to go alongside a radio presentation area and a television news studio." Former Radio Broadland presenter Chrissy Jackson said, "It was a fabulous opportunity for our future broadcasting faces and voices." My first audition was in Studio 2 in Colgate. I remember the feeling that I'd finally found what I wanted to do with my life. I love the fact that those studios will be buzzing with people again, she said. Professor Wells added, it was well timed as the course had outgrown the space available at EPIC, which UEA has used for the last decade. He said, from this central location, students will be within easy reach of the city and the county authorities. It's usually flourishing arts and performance locations, and of course Gentleman's Walk and the Marketplace, where it's always possible to find interesting opinions.
A spate of cold callers who claim to offer free loft insulation has prompted a warning from watchdogs. The Trading Standards team at Norfolk County Council has issued the warning after reports of cold callers in Beauthorpe, Cringleford and King's Lynn. The cold callers claim they can offer free loft insulation, cavity wall insulation or replacement boilers, stating government and council grants are available. They then attempt to make an appointment for an assessor to visit and check the property and eligibility, and one householder was told this would include checking personal information and bank statements. A Trading Standards spokesperson said, we advise to be very wary of claims made by doorstep cold callers and never give access to your property. Agree to services, share or confirm personal details, buy items or agree to return visits if approached in this manner.
Plans for a multi-million pound 91-bed landmark hotel in Norwich city centre have been submitted. The planning application for the hotel in Chamberlain House in the Guildhall Hill, above and behind Tesco Metro, has been formally lodged with Norwich City Council. The property consultants, Ward Hill Walker, have shared their vision for the development with city councillors in February, but have now refined their proposals after consultation. If councillors grant approval, then the plans for the Victorian building would see empty offices above Tesco's turned into hotel rooms with an extension where the Superstore's loading yard is. The Tesco store would remain, as would shops in neighbouring Dub Street, while new retail units would be created at the back. The developers say the scheme would bring thousands of visitors into Norwich and would create 28 jobs. They say changes have been made to the roof design, with the new construction following the angle of the existing roof, along with changes to Pottergate frontage. John Walker of property consultants Ward Hill Walker said, the responses we have had from the consultation have been very positive, and a number of beneficial improvements have been made to the design and layout of the proposed hotel. We are very excited to be progressing with this application, which will bring this 120-year-old building back into use to create a landmark hotel facility with a superb views of Norwich.